Welcome to the Pelvic Floor Fit Podcast. My name is Dr. Emily, and I am a mama of three under three. I'm a pelvic health physical therapist, and I'm a certified pre and postnatal fitness coach. And it is my absolute passion to empower y'all to achieve a pain-free pregnancy, the birth of your dreams, and a confident postpartum recovery. Just a quick reminder about information that I share in this podcast. It is not intended to be taken as medical advice intended to diagnose or treat any illness or condition. You should speak with your healthcare provider about any of the topics discussed and how they may or may not pertain to you. While I am a pelvic health physical therapist and certified pre and postnatal fitness coach, we do not have a therapist-patient relationship or trainer-client relationship. Hey ladies, can't wait for you to hear this one because I brought my good friend Amy, who's an integrative health coach, back on to discuss how we can exercise to effectively promote our hormonal balance and health. This is something that she preaches day in, day out. And so we kind of discussed the pelvic health, perinatal fitness perspective of how we can support our health. And she kind of chimes in with a lot of her background and how we support our hormones from the nutrition and lifestyle side. It's such a great discussion. So tune in.
I'm skiing and I was supposed to be home, and last minute my mom was like, I'll take the baby, you keep skiing. And I was like, okay, but I also have this live to do. So I'm like sitting in a stairwell doing this.
Oh my gosh. But that's awesome. It looks beautiful.
Yeah. It just snowed like 17 inches. So it's amazing. But anyways, I'm getting my exercise in while trying to conceive, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
But first I wanted you to kind of talk about what you do and how you started doing that.
Yeah. So I am a pelvic health physical therapist. I'm also a certified pre and postnatal fitness coach. So my background in physical therapy.
I don't know if I'm frozen or Emily's frozen. Okay.
Okay. Well, this again.
Okay. It went out. But yeah, tell us what you do and how you got to doing it.
Yes. So I'm a pelvic health physical therapist and a certified pre and postnatal fitness coach. I really got into physical therapy because I was passionate about teaching people how to support their bodies, because I think that cuts out like 90% of our health problems. If we actually know how to move effectively and support our bodies, then we don't have all these breakdowns and issues that we have, especially orthopedically, but even with chronic disease, it makes a huge difference. And then a lot of our friends started getting pregnant, and I realized that my knowledge of pelvic floor was incredibly limited from my physical therapy education. So I did even more education after my doctorate and learned all about pelvic health. And then I also wanted to make sure that even if you weren't just symptomatic, I could also teach you how to exercise in a way that supports your pregnancy, your birth experience, your postpartum recovery, and all of those things. Yeah. So that's kind of my educational background, but personally, I had a really, really rough first pregnancy that was not super enjoyable. Yeah. I went from being incredibly fit to being in a bunch of pain and feeling like I really was super limited. I had a cesarean that I did not really want to have, and a really hard postpartum recovery. And so once I dug myself out of that hole, I promised myself I would always be there for other moms to hopefully help them avoid that altogether. Or if they were in the trenches, like, I'd help dig them out, because I've been there.
Awesome. That's so awesome that your personal experience, which I think a lot of us are like that, inform like what we do now, so mm-hmm. that we can better connect with our patients that have had similar things go on. Okay, yes. So let's talk.
Guys.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk. Hold on, some people are coming up. Hold Yeah, good. Let's talk about why it's important to get fit pre-pregnancy and also staying working out throughout pregnancy. Because I know during my first pregnancy, I did a lot, or before my first pregnancy, I guess, I was doing so much for my health because I was struggling to conceive. And I definitely was like exercising, but I had this like fear of imbalancing my hormones even further by like exercising too hard. Yeah. So how do you find that balance whenever you're struggling to conceive and you know that hormone balance is so important, but you also know that like a HIIT exercise or something like that that's way too intense is going to stress your body and not balance your hormones?
Yeah, so I love that the conversation is going here now, and I'm seeing it more and more, because I used to just hear from a lot of ladies postpartum who were like broken. And so it's so good to be thinking about these things even before we conceive, but especially if we are struggling to conceive, exercise can be a huge piece to that. And we want to find that sweet spot, mm-hmm. because we can certainly overexercise. And to be honest, I did it all wrong before my first conception. I just got really lucky. But on paper, like, I should have really struggled to conceive because I was way over exercising, way under eating. But then on the flip side, if we're like totally stationary and we're not exercising, that can also have negative implications on our hormonal health and our ability to conceive. So what I like to recommend is prioritizing building a really solid physical foundation with our pelvic health, with our breath, our pelvic floor, our core, how all of those muscles collaborate together to, you know, support our bodies from the very core. And then also prioritizing strength training and modalities like that that increase our muscle mass, because that's so important for our metabolic health and therefore our hormonal balance. When our metabolism is functioning properly, then our hormones have the support that they need. And it's not to say you can never, ever do intense exercise. Obviously, you know, there are examples like Tia Claire Toomey, who's, you know, won the CrossFit Games multiple times. Oh, yeah. And like, she had a really great healthy pregnancy. And I got very, very lucky with how much I was exercising when I conceived. But we do know that there is a sweet spot. And if you're experiencing a lot of fatigue, if you're really, really sore for long periods of time after you're exercising, if your sleep is garbage, if your mood is fluctuating like crazy, you know, there are lots of signs that we can see that point to overtraining. And unfortunately, as women, we're really pushed to like burn a ton of calories with our workouts and things like that, which is a whole other soapbox I could get on. That's really not super effective. If you want to build an amazing physique, strength training is where it's at. You're going to increase your muscle mass, improve your metabolic rate, and you're just going to look really good doing it with less time and less effort. But it also, you know, wreaks havoc on our metabolism long term and on our hormonal balance.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, if we're doing nothing, then that's not supportive either. So we do want to find that balance of that sweet spot of exercise.
Okay, that's awesome. That's kind of how I usually counsel my clients too. I'm not like an exercise expert, but I do know, you know, like, you don't want to spike your cortisol to the point where it cannot come down after mm-hmm. exercise. You want to make sure that you're taking adequate rest in between exercises and stuff so that you can, your body can control its heart rate. I always talk about like stress being a tiger chasing you, yeah. right? And like, if your exercise makes you feel all day long like a tiger has chased you and you can't like recover, it's too much.
Yeah. Yes. And I love putting it that way, because it's not that we can't do intense exercise and be, you know, hormonally healthy, but like, just like you said, it's how is it impacting the rest of your day? Like, I'll do some pretty intense exercises even when I'm pregnant, because I know my body and I know my limits. Mm-hmm. But if I'm like wiped out the next day or the rest of the day, then I know I overdid yeah. it, and we have to make adjustments. And you're not going to screw yourself over with one workout. It's our habits over time. But yeah, you have to listen to your body, and we have to stop being so obsessed with, a certain number on the scale or a certain size clothing. If our goal is long-term health, then we need to be checking in with other markers, like how we feel and our energy and our mood and our sleep and all of those things, because that tells us a lot more about the big picture.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that too. That's awesome. So, just drawing on my experience going through my first pregnancy and stuff like that, I definitely exercise pre-pregnancy, trying to get healthy for conception. I was scared at times. I didn't want to overtrain, all that. So we talked about that. Then I got pregnant, and honestly, I was just so tired.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I can walk forever. I know I can walk forever. And I just walked and walked and walked and stretched to prepare. Like, I did hypnobirthing classes, and they like taught me how to, prepare my hips for birth and stuff. But then when I got to birth, I was so weak,
Yeah.
and I wasn't stretched appropriately. Like, I never dilated on my own because my hips, I had a lot of pain during birth, but like, I just don't think I did anything appropriately. And my hips were so tight that like, I literally wouldn't dilate. So
Yeah.
how do you combat that through pregnancy? How do you get ready in pregnancy for birth so that you're strong? And then also, I mean, I believe it, you'll answer like the same way for both, but I think it's important to note that preparing for birth, with fitness will also prepare you for a better postpartum.
Yeah, so I mean, it's all so connected, and that's why I'm so excited. Like, when women are trying to conceive and they're already thinking about this, because I mean, it's honestly the answer is the same for all stages. We're just going to make modifications, But when we actually learn about how to connect to our pelvic floor and our core and our breath and how all of that should look, and we make that just a daily practice and we make that part of our exercise routines, then we're going to be exercising more effectively. We're going to be, thinking more intentionally during pregnancy about which muscles are important to strengthen and how. I even love like teaching moms a bunch of like single leg lifts or asymmetrical lifts or things, for one, to challenge our balance and our core, because that's being so compromised during pregnancy, but also it's gonna show up in motherhood when you've got like a crazy toddler you're trying to wrangle into a car seat or across a parking lot or whatever. Like, I just love to train for function, and I love to teach moms that. And when you think about the function that a pregnant body needs to have, it needs to have support for gaining 20 plus percent body weight. It needs to have stability for our joints that are loosening up in preparation for birth. We also have to have a solid connection to our pelvic floor. Like you said, a lot of us have really tight hips. Actually, naturally, but during pregnancy, it gets even worse. So we have to really work on our mobility of our joints and our stability. And you'd think like those things are opposite, but they really go hand in hand. You have to have this balance of all of our joints moving correctly and also being able to stabilize so that we can avoid, sciatica and pubic symphysis dysfunction and SI joint pain and things like that. And none of it's rocket science. It's really not complicated, but it's just, if you're anything like me, you're super busy and you don't have hours to spend in the gym. So, picking really specific exercises that are going to support your body for like 10 minutes a day.
I love that.
And then like if you want to go for walks, walks are great. Like, they're great for your mental health and emotional health, and obviously can have physical benefits too. But it takes a lot more time, and it just doesn't support your body in the same way that, say, doing some hip stretches and doing some pelvic stability exercises and then doing a couple of squats would.
Okay. Got it. Love that. Okay, I wanted to touch on something you said because you said that we have tight hips naturally and then even more so in pregnancy. But something that I learned in pregnancy and like during birth is that you get like this hormone called relaxin that's supposed to relax to your hips, right? Like, so you are a little bit more loosey-goosey, but that other muscles then feel the instability and overcompensate to make everything like tighter. So you kind of have to balance that where you have this like natural hormone that's coming in to prepare you for birth, but then the rest of your body's like, pull it together. Like,
Yes, well, and if you think about like round ligament pain and things like that too, like, you know, our pelvis is actually comprised of multiple bones. We kind of think of our pelvis like one bone, but it's actually multiple bones that come together with these really, really stable joints that then get loosened up in pregnancy so baby can, you know, fit through and make it out. And so because of that, when those super stable joints typically are mobilized, that can become incredibly painful, and our nervous system can upregulate tremendously, which can make other muscles go, oh, I need to guard, I need to protect, and has a tremendous impact on our pelvic floor. A lot of women think, like, okay, our pelvic floor is totally separate from our other muscles, but it's very intimately connected to our hip muscles, to our emotional state, to our stress. If you feel like you're a super like tightly wound person, you are very likely to have an overactive pelvic floor. And there's a ton we can do to address that. But something I like to kind of describe with the pelvic floor is like if you picture an elevator. So at rest, we should be at the ground floor. When we're doing a Kegel or a pelvic floor contraction, we're going up to the next floor.
Okay.
And then when we relax, we should come back to the ground floor. When we are actively elongating, when we're trying to pass gas or bowel movement or have a baby, it needs to be able to elongate or stretch and go to the basement. But when we have, you know, our joints loosening up and our body like tensing up, trying to protect it, sometimes we get stuck at the first floor and that's our resting state. And that's not normal.
Yeah.
That's not what we want. And it's not optimal for birth. So something we'll actually work on quite a bit, like everyone says Kegels, but actually relaxing and elongating the pelvic floor in preparation for birth and you know, making sure our hip muscles are actually stretched and mobile, that our hips, our knees, our ankles are all really nice and mobile makes a huge difference in our pelvic floor's ability to function properly.
Okay. I love that analogy, the elevator. That's
Yeah.
so good. Okay. Maybe last-ish question, because I know we've gone about 15 minutes at this point, but I have PCOS and I know a huge ton of my followers have PCOS. So going back to preconception, us PCOS girlies are told very frequently to get pregnant, you need to lose weight by eating less, exercising more. And I think that's terrible advice. Terrible advice. And so I'm always coaching that a lot of us PCOS girlies actually need to be eating more frequently, just more balanced. So how would you advise on the exercise piece of that for specifically PCOS girlies? Could you maybe give like a sample week of workouts to where we're not increasing our testosterone, because that's typically where the diagnosis comes from, is our androgens are like crazy high. So we don't want to increase cortisol, increase inflammation, and increase all this stuff by exercising too hard. We want to keep, you know, keep our stress levels down. We want to keep our hormones balanced, but we do a lot of times need to lose some weight to be able to conceive. So how, what would like a week of workouts look for your kind of typical PCOS girly?
And I couldn't agree more. Like I obviously can't speak too much to the dietary component, but most of us undereat. Most of us don't eat enough protein. Even if we are eating okay calories, we're not prioritizing protein enough, which is super important to building muscle. But as far as the exercise component, I'm just gonna say strength training all day long is gonna be the most effective way to go because, again, we're gonna build muscle mass, which is gonna improve our metabolic rate. It's going to, you know, do a lot for trying to lose weight in a sustainable, healthy way that also, you know, has long-term health benefits, and helps our hormones regulate. But I also think that Sorry, I had pregnant brain moment. I'm trying to think of where I was going with that. It really depends on where you're coming at it from, right? So, like, if
Sense,
you
yeah.
have zero lifting experience, I wouldn't say, like, grab a barbell. Let's start with body weight, because a lot of people think strength training, you have to be doing, like,
Heavy lifting.
barbells and, yeah, be at the physical gym. You don't have to go to the gym to do strength training. It's amazing what you can do with simple body weight or even just adding like a pair of dumbbells. But I love to have ladies start with just 10-minute workouts, and we do 3 or 4 workouts a week. So we do typically like upper body, lower body splits for especially beginners. And then sometimes incorporate a full body day. But we want to prioritize really impactful lifts like squats, deadlifts, push-ups, things like that that impact our large muscles. They're going to get the most out of that time as possible. And they're also going to support our bodies really well when we do get pregnant. And I also like to recommend that we aim for about 10 repetitions with these movements being a good challenge. So sometimes with body weight, that's going to be, you might have to do more than 10 repetitions. But if you are going to add weight, we ideally want to aim between 8 to 12 repetitions for really building that strength. Being like, we're not compromising our form to get those reps done, but we couldn't do a whole lot more. We do really want to really push our bodies to make that change. But the beautiful thing about strength training, like you were saying with the heart rate, is our heart rate is coming down between sets. So if someone's really struggling, then I'd recommend that they take a rest break between every single set. Sometimes it's nice to do supersets if we're really busy. But if you're going to do a superset and you're concerned about your heart rate, then make sure you're pairing exercises that use different muscles. So, like, do a squat and then do bicep curls or something so that your body is not like, oh, I just did, don't do like lunges and squats together.
Burn your legs out.
Yes.
That's
Let
funny.
your body recover, and then make sure you're really checking in with yourself. I think after the workout is almost, I wouldn't say more, but like almost more important than the workout itself, because if you're not prioritizing recovery, you totally wasted all your time. You've got to make sure you're eating enough protein, that you're sleeping well,
Hydrating.
that everything else. Yes, because that's really when your muscles are built. Like strength training is when we're breaking them down with intention, and then we're building them back up when we're sleeping, when we're
Recovery.
eating, doing all the things. And that's why strength training affects our metabolism so much, because our body is working on rebuilding those muscles stronger and better the whole rest of the day.
Oh my gosh. This is so good. I like just love your emphasis on efficiency because so many of us are moms, business owners, like working full time with a baby, like all this stuff. So the efficiency piece is so key, like doing exercise that's going to work for you, which is also how I coach like nutrition. Like people do these crazy diets that like they see on Instagram that helped so and so get pregnant, but it's like what's actually good for you though? Like what's actually going to help? So I love that that's the way that you coach too. And I think this was so good. I'm just so excited for people to know you like going into pregnancy because it's so key to probably start your program going into pregnancy and then continuing through pregnancy and then obviously postpartum because I think a lot of us get to postpartum and are like, crap, I need to do something about this. Like I'm totally broken, So preventing that is amazing. I want to give you a chance to tell people like where they can find you, and like what you're offering at this time.
Yeah, for sure. So Instagram is probably where I'm most active. I'm pelvic.floor.fit on Instagram, which you'll see with the reel. And I have kind of a couple of different tiers of things. I obviously have a lot of freebie resources because education is very important to me, and I don't want to put everything behind a paywall. So there, I have quite a bit of information you can access through my content for free or to get on my email list. I send out a lot of tips there for free. But then I also have some paid workshops that are a great like first step if you're totally new to this or it's a little intimidating or overwhelming and you just want like a place to get started. So I have a couple of workshops that are more specific to what stage of motherhood you find yourself in. And then I have a full-blown, super robust subscription that covers all of my pelvic health programs, all of my fitness programs, the entire library, access to me like 24/7 in our community, where you can, you know, find accountability buddies. You can say, hey, my form feels funny with this. How should I tweak it? You know, whatever you're needing. So that's like the super robust subscription called Mama Fit Core Method. But yeah, I just have a couple of different tiers because to some moms that would be super overwhelming and they just need like a starting point.
Yeah.
So workshops are a great starting
point. Okay, awesome. I'm excited because I just signed up for your 30-day fit.
Yes.
What is it called? Workshop?
Yes, 30 days to fit and confident.
Yes, love it. I can't wait to do that. And then I can definitely see myself like transitioning into your full-blown thing, especially as I try to conceive. I want to avoid SPD in pregnancy because I had that so bad in my first pregnancy. And then obviously I want to recover well postpartum. So definitely will transition over and make sure that I'm doing all the right things for my body. I'm so excited that you're offering all this. And it was so nice chatting with you today.
Yes. Thank you for taking time away from your skiing. It looks so fun.
That's the beauty of this job. You can do it from wherever.
Yes. Well, and that's one of the things I'm really passionate about is like, even like you said, making this really approachable and practical. Like we do Velcro baby workouts. We do toddler workouts, like, whatever you need to do. There's a solution. I promise.
Oh, that's so cute. Okay. That's so good. Just get your exercise in however you can.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Well, I hope that your baby is a little happier once you get off of this.
Yeah, that means toddler meltdown day, but it's all good.
Alrighty, Emily. Thanks so much. It was so nice talking to you.
Thanks for having me on. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Pelvic Floor Fit podcast. It is my absolute honor to empower, educate, and inspire you mamas to have the most amazing motherhood journey possible. If this was helpful for you, please leave me a 5-star review and send this to a mama who needs to hear it.